In documenting the rapid pace of changes in his lifetime, Fintan O'Toole has written what critics are calling a definitive account of modern Ireland. He joins us in a minute on today's Travel with Rick Steves to explain how Ireland has been reconciling with its past and how it can now focus on its role as a progressive nation with a prosperous future. And later in the hour, we'll look at the ingenuity of the ancient Romans and the roads they built to connect the empire's western and eastern capitals, places you can still walk today. How much has the world you grew up in changed since you were born? Well, Fintan O'Toole was born in a working-class suburb of South Dublin and puts the profound changes of the past couple of generations in Ireland into focus with his book, We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. Fintan has long been a popular columnist for the Irish Times, and he's often called Ireland's leading public intellectual for how he writes about the issues and the people of his country. Fintan joins us today on Travel with Rick Steves to help us better understand how and why Ireland has changed from what some people used to call a reactionary backwater into a progressive-minded European nation with a profound literary and artistic heritage. Fintan, thanks for joining us.
It's a real pleasure, Rick, and lovely to be with you and your listeners.
Yeah, now your book is called A Personal History. I mean, you could write a history of Ireland, but you called it a personal history of modern Ireland. What do you mean by that?
I thought, maybe arrogantly, but I thought, yes, to try to tell the story of Ireland in my own lifetime. I was born in 1958, so I'm 65. It's a story of extraordinary transformation, as you mentioned. And I thought there was a way of trying to tell that story as if you didn't know how it's going to end. So historians, and I love historians. I read a lot of history. I think they're fantastic, you know, but they're looking at archives, you know, and they're shaping a story through all these kind of big issues. And I thought it might be really interesting for readers if you could take them back into what it felt to be alive at that time. And hopefully that feels a bit different for people. It feels maybe a little bit more like reading a novel, even though it's all true.
And it gives you these wonderful little intimate vignettes that are totally legitimate. They're just as legitimate as some landmark piece of legislation. It's just you rode the first escalator in Dublin when you were 5 years old. What was that like?
You know, Rick, I remember that so vividly. I mean, it seems weird now, but the excitement of an escalator arriving.
An escalator. Wow.
You know, so you stood on it and it moved and it took you up to another floor. And then you could come back down and you could go back up again.
You could go up the wrong way. Kept, you know,
I think we nearly got thrown out of the shop in the end because we were doing this all day, you know. But it was modernity. You know, it was this idea of, wow, this is the modern world.
And then John Fitzgerald Kennedy, an Irish-American president, comes to Ireland and people go crazy.
It's hard to overstate that, Rick. You know, so Ireland was very depressed, to be honest. You know, it was a failure. It was economically very poor. We'd fought for our independence, but, you know, huge numbers of people were still leaving. And we were just tentatively sort of trying to step into the modern world. And then here you have a product of the tragedy of Irish emigration coming back to us in this glamorous form. I mean, JFK was like a movie star, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the people around JFK couldn't think, why is he doing this? You know, Ireland doesn't matter at all. You know, he'd just been in Berlin, given this famous speech at the Berlin Wall, and he comes to Ireland like 3 days and he's going around. But it was really important for him, actually, you know, that his Irish identity was important to him. But for Ireland, it was like, oh, this was our future.
You know, there's those wonderful museums that we go to when we travel that recreate a living room from a certain decade, you know. And if you went to one of those museums and you stepped into the living room in 1960s, whose pictures would you see on the mantle or hanging in the kitchen?
Oh, we would have had the pictures. You would have had the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And you would have had John F. Kennedy on one side of it and the Pope on the other side. You know, what we know now about JFK is maybe a bit more complicated, but he really, particularly because of his death, you know, he came to seem like a sort of Irish Catholic saint. You know, you can laugh at it and it's a bit ridiculous, but it sort of gave Irish people a great confidence boost in a way that, you know, the tragedy of our history could have produced a figure like this.
It goes, I mean, let's talk a little bit about Ireland's tough economy. I mean, as you mentioned, basically, it's decade after decade of hardship and civil war and famine and devastating immigration. I mean, the population, you wrote about it in your book, The Vanishing Irish Problem. Tell us about that in a nutshell.
So it's hard to get your head around, Rick. You know, so in 1840, before the famine, there were 8.5 million people on the island.
Yeah.
Today, we have 6.5 million. So we still have not recovered demographically. And when I was born, we were at the low point, right? So in the Republic of Ireland, there were just 3 million people left.
Huh.
And they were leaving in droves. There was the young people, of course, who were leaving. They were going to America if they could. That's where they wanted to go for preference. But America, you know, had tightened up on migration during that period. So an awful lot of them were going to England. And you can imagine the sense of humiliation of that, Rick, because the Irish had spent so long trying to free themselves from England. And then what's happening, you know, 30, 35 years after you've become independent, your young people want to go to England. Most of my father's family, they're in London, they're in Birmingham. That's where they make their lives because it's the only place they can make a life. But it's very humiliating. You know, it has a real sense of despair about it because it feels like we tried to be independent and we haven't made it work, you know, and that's a terrible thing for people to start thinking.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Fintan O'Toole, and he's written the book We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. Fintan joins us now from Princeton University, where he's a visiting lecturer in Irish Letters. He writes a twice weekly column for the Irish Times, and he's the author of more than 24 books about Ireland. We have links to his work with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. So, Fintan, we had that vanishing Irish problem, but then, as you wrote in your book, something happened, and there was kind of a revolution economically. What was the deal?
Yeah, so it's very interesting. Revolutions usually happen from the bottom, and this one happened from the top, really. So this is the despair that was around when I was born. That year, a very small group of people, really, you know, on the top of the civil service and one or two politicians say, this has to change, because if it doesn't change, it's over. You know, the Irish independence just doesn't work. We just can't continue to exist like this. So the big decision is made to open Ireland up to foreign investment, particularly American investment, and to try to, you know, with tax incentives and everything else to say, please come. You know, why bring all the Irish over to America to work in your factory? Why not open up the factory here effectively, right? And this starts to work, you know. So when I'm a little kid, this is really beginning to move. It's not overnight by any means.
Right.
But this really is the motive that's driving everything through the 1960s, 70s, and 80s.
Because I remember, like you said, it wasn't overnight. On my first trips around Ireland, I was up in Donegal, and people told me just it's been a devastating time, and the kids have just ransacked stuff, and there's nothing for them to do, and it's boring, and it's hopeless, and everybody was on the dole. I learned the word the dole because everybody was talking about the dole. It was depressing in Ireland back then.
You know, it really was, Rick, and it's very interesting that you should say that, you know, because as a traveler, it's heartrending in a way because the place is beautiful, you know, and you think this should be a really wonderful country.
I know it. I wanted to have that cheeriness.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not naturally depressed people, I think, you know.
I do like that idea where the government gives this tax incentives. It's just kind of common sense. Let's be everybody else's cash cow.
Yeah. And, you know, and let's be frank, the labor was cheap. That was also an initial attraction. But at least it means you can stay at home. And if enough young people can stay at home, it's a sort of virtuous circle. So it had been a vicious circle. If your friends are leaving, if the girl that you have your eye on is leaving, you're going to leave, right? If your friends are staying, you will also stay. So the idea was desperately just try to get something there.
And there was something there. I mean, even my little personal example, my dad imported pianos from Europe, the finest pianos in the world. And in the 1970s, the biggest piano factory in Europe was in Western Ireland, Lintner Piano, I think it was called.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. And it was just, what's a piano factory doing in Ireland? Well, it's the product of these government policies that made it great to plant your factory there and employ smart, hardworking people there who will work for less money.
Absolutely. And you know what happens then in 1973 is Ireland gets into the European Union.
There you go.
And that makes it even more attractive, right? So if you're an American company, if you manufacture something in Ireland, it means that you have tariff-free access to the whole European Union, you know, so that makes it, again, more attractive.
And basically, this was kicking off what was called the Celtic Tiger economic boom, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really happen. So, you know, it's important to emphasize this is kind of a slow process, really. So the Celtic Tiger really doesn't happen until the 1990s, you know, so that's sort of 95, 96.
Is it related to that?
Well, yes. So it's the same policy. And actually, you know, we had a terrible decade. The 80s were awful for, you know, reasons we don't need to go into, but they did stick with it. And they did one really important thing, Rick, you know, which is really simple again, but is invest in education, you know.
Yeah.
When I was born, Rick, Ireland was the worst educated population in Europe. Huh. And what a disgrace that was for a culture that, you know, has given so much to Europe and to the world. But, you know, my parents didn't get to high school. And most people did not get to high school, never mind university. And now Ireland is the best educated country in Europe.
Is that government policy driven?
It's government policy driven. You know, it's just invest in it, you know, make it possible for young people to educate themselves. And if you do that, you transform the society because they're very attractive for investment. Also, they don't put up with as much nonsense, you know. They want their society to be better. They feel prouder of themselves. They have confidence. And, you know, that's a wonderful transformation I've seen in my time.
You know, the title of your book starts with, "We don't know ourselves." We don't know ourselves. Is that a Irish phrase or something?
Yeah, it is, Rick. And it's one, I thought everybody understood it. I thought it was a very clever pun or double meaning. Yeah. In Ireland, as I discovered, only the Irish say this, but so if you get a new lawnmower, you know, and somebody says to you, "How's the new lawnmower?" You'll say, "Oh, we don't know ourselves with the new lawnmower. It's just fantastic," you know. So it kind of contains this thing of everything is great, you know. And I meant that because everything is great, but I also meant the other side of it, right, which is the other meaning of it, which is we've gone through this process of transformation and who are we, you know? Wow. Do we really understand who we are?
Fintan O'Toole's book is called We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. It's won high praise from critics in Ireland and the U.S. and was named one of the best books of 2023 by the New York Times, Washington Post, and The Atlantic. It's now out in paperback. Fintan tells us about the legacy of the troubles in Northern Ireland and the impact of Brexit and the influence of the Catholic Church in Ireland. That's in just a minute on Travel with Rick Steves.